The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Hey, y'all, it's Chip Patterson from the Cover 3 Podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. College football is about to enter its first ever 12-team playoff era, so join me, along with Tom Fornelli, Danny Cannell, and Bud Elliott, as we drop new episodes five times a week to close out the year. We've got reactions, bracket breakdowns, and best bets for these matchups with championship stakes. Follow and listen to the Cover 3 Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Always enjoy talking to our guy, Danny Cannell. Danny joins us courtesy of betonline.net. Check out BetOnline for updated college football playoff, bowl game, and 2025 opening Heisman lines. All right, Danny, I've been, ever since we found out you're going to be on the show, I'm really intrigued by your thoughts to this simple question. Was it a good first weekend for the college football playoff?
Oh, no. It was gross, right? Yeah. It sucked. There's no way to sugarcoat it. Four games, all pretty non-competitive. You know, the score is very misleading in a couple of them. You know, I know Notre Dame, Indiana was only a 10-point win, but there were 14 points late. You know, the Clemson-Texas game, you know, it was kind of close, but in the end, it really wasn't, you know, that close. And then you had absolute blowouts in the other ones. I hated it from the perspective of college football fans. Like, I am a passionate college football guy, right? That's my thing. I want the best to be on display. But unfortunately, that's kind of sports, right? I mean, that's happened before. I remember when I was growing up, I remember Super Bowls were blowouts. There was a string of them when I even went to one where Steve Young actually did the thing where he got the monkey off his back and he threw six touchdown passes against the Chargers, and it was an absolute blowout. Like, and the fact we got four of them, I think there's two things. One, it's a bit of bad luck, right? We just got unfortunate. And then two, I really think there's an easy fix for next season, which they may or may not tweak a little bit. In 2 years, remember, this was a two-year experiment with the 12 teams. So after next year, the second year of the 12-team playoff, they're going to make some dramatic changes. But if they want to make a simple tweak, I think it's really just rank the teams properly going into the playoff and don't worry about automatic buys for the top four ranked conference champions, right? That kind of threw things off because, you know, you would have had Indiana playing against Clemson, you know, and so, like, to me, that game probably is more compelling and it weeds out one of those teams and maybe prepares them better. Like, Indiana looked completely overwhelmed on the road. Maybe if they play against Clemson, they win, it kind of prepares them a little bit better. Boise State would have been playing SMU. Like, those are just some matchups that are a little bit more evenly matched, but I still think that is part of college football, separating out the kind of pretenders from the real championship contenders. And we might see blowouts this weekend too, but according to the odds makers, we should get two spectacular games between Georgia and Notre Dame and Oregon and Ohio State. Like, there should be some really good games this weekend, and who knows? Maybe one of those games that are supposed to be blowouts, maybe they aren't, and maybe we do get that upset. But it was sort of the perfect storm swirling on that first weekend, which stunk for college football fans. But I'm trying to just keep everybody engaged and say, let's see how this whole thing plays out before we're ready to just jump off a bridge.
See, Danny, I thought it was interesting that you actually think that there is a fix. That was actually going to be my next question to you. What about it needs fixing, if anything? My thought on this for the entire time has been, man, it might just be too many teams. I know we want to watch all the games, and you can just give me all the games, and I'll watch every single one of them without complaining whether it's a blowout or not. I'm just going to watch the games. But it does feel like it's probably too many teams. Even if they seed it differently, we're still talking about it feels like certain teams that are just not really competing for a national championship, like an SMU, like an Indiana, like a Tennessee. Like it still feels like it might be too crowded of a field.
It could be. I think there's a couple things. One, we're just kind of in this new era of parity where their talent is starting to spread throughout college football. I mean, I think that's one of the reason there was such debate about, you know, Vanderbilt beating Alabama, you know, Arkansas beating Tennessee, and they've done that before. But even Indiana being 11-1 is something we haven't seen in the history of college football. Like, Indiana's never been that good. What if they get better and they start closing that gap? And I do think with the revenue share that's coming down the road, which starts next season, that'll give a lot more teams an opportunity. The collectives will still be there, so there still will be some blue bloods. But I think most importantly, as painful as that first round was, I do think we're going to get rid of some of those, like the contenders. And so the next round, again, I mentioned that one, there might be another blowout. But even in the 14 playoff, when we only had four, there were a lot of lopsided games. We saw a national championship where TCU lost by, you know, 60 points to Georgia. I don't think that happens because they're going to get weeded out in this process on the way there. And I think we just need to let this play out. Let's, even if it's only 2 years, let's see how it goes, see if there's still blowouts. Because I do think the field is deeper than it's been. I get the point about maybe we only need four teams. Some people say maybe we only need two. But I still find value in letting those teams. And, like, I thought it really enhanced the regular season. And it gave programs like SMU and Indiana hope for the first time that they actually could play for a national championship, which if we only have four teams, that really kind of demolishes a lot of team seasons in November, where it gave them hope, it gave them an opportunity, and maybe 1 year they do capture lightning in a bottle and they are able to pull off an upset. Even if it's only one round, I still think that would really, you know, provide a lot of hope and enthusiasm, a lot of fan bases who have never had it before.
Damn, they did lose by 60 in that game. Yeah.
Yes, that was ugly.
I was about to say, Danny, I don't really, there's no reason for you to just take out the TCU people. But I guess that was 65-7, wasn't it? My goodness. Danny joins us courtesy of betonline.net. Check out BetOnline for updated college football playoff bowl game and 2025 opening Heisman lines. I do want to get to Texas, and is there a thought that they may be on upset alert with Arizona State? But one thing before you get to that, Danny, you talk about a change. Everybody's talking about the reseeding, which I think that's understandable. These teams, to me, are too close when it comes to the seeding to give someone and give teams such a huge home field advantage. Like I don't know if you use the other bowl games, but that was the thing that jumped out to me was it is such an advantage in football, especially college football, to play at home. And I just don't think that any of those teams separated themselves enough to get that large of an advantage. Like, to me, if you want to see better, I think those games would have been better if they were at a neutral site. And to me, if you want to see better football, to me, I want to see that. But you can comment on that. And also, do you think Texas is on upset alert with Arizona State?
I love the way you're thinking, because I would tend to agree. I mean, and that's one of the things I think makes college football really special. So I've heard two lines of thinking, and I'm down for both of them. I want to see more of those games. So if you wanted to do the first two rounds there, I'd be okay with that. But that doesn't solve the problem you're talking about. Like, hey, what if we flip-flopped it and made the first round that we just watched this past weekend at neutral site games, like you were talking about, and then the second round, which actually were those teams that get a bye. And again, I don't think Arizona State or Boise State should have been rewarded a bye. Like, I think that's one of the biggest flaws that nobody's really talking about, because we're talking about the blowouts. But then, because really the bye is good, but if you give them the bye and a home field game, that would be insane. And also, again, kind of weeding out some of those teams on the way there, you might weed out some of those teams that truly aren't ready for that road atmosphere, like an SMU or like a, you know, everybody was. I mean, there were all of them. So it's not, because Tennessee has played in big road atmospheres, right? But they didn't look ready for Ohio State and what they went into. And they had 40% of the stadium with Tennessee fans, you know, like, so I do like the idea of, one, if you wanted to do the first two rounds and have them all on home fields, but or if we flip-flop the weekend and had that first weekend at neutral sites and then the first round, or the, you know, for the bye teams, which would be the second weekend of the college football playoff, I think that would be, you know, a better system, and I think it would give those teams that earn the byes that home field advantage, which I do think is huge, as you mentioned. All right, so what do you want to know about Texas? So they be on the upset alert?
Yeah. Should the Texas fans, we got an Aggie on the show, but the Texas fans out there, should they be worried about this Arizona State matchup?
So I don't think so, but I've been hard on Texas all year long. I thought they would lose at Kyle Field. Like, I thought they haven't really played up to their A game, right? Like, what we saw from Ohio State versus Tennessee was like, oh, wow. It was like, oh, my gosh, that team can win the national championship. I don't even know if we've seen that yet for Texas, which can be a really good thing, right? Because if they have another gear, which I do think they're going to need if they want to get through this round and through Oregon or Ohio State and then eventually through a team from the other side of the bracket, I think they're going to have to bump it up a notch. And I think they've got it in them. Like, the best game I'd say I've probably seen from them was Florida. But Florida didn't have a lot of their players. Actually, they were really good against Michigan, too. But, like, for a while, they've been kind of just playing with their food a little bit. And even against Clemson, like, Cade Klubnik kind of got after that secondary, which had been so strong all season long. Like, their defense had been almost untouchable as far as throwing it against them. And Cade Klubnik was able to have a lot of success through the air. So I don't think they're on upset alert. I think even against Arizona State, I don't think they need their A game. I think, but if they do, it could be another blowout. Like, that is what I'm concerned about. And I do think Arizona State is probably not as good as Clemson. So on that game, I'm not that worried about Texas getting upset. The point spread, maybe I'm a little bit tantalized by taking a shot at the 13.5. If it gets to two touchdowns, then I probably like it a lot more. But I don't think Texas gets beaten this round. I do think they advance.
Danny, what are they missing? That's the part that I'm struggling with. What do you? And I hate to be the, you know, pile on Quinn Ewers guy, but it feels like they're a quarterback away. Am I wrong on that?
I think it is an identity, right? I mean, there's a lot of teams, you know exactly what they are. Take Ohio State, for example. They've got a ton of talent on offense, right? And they're going to be a high-powered offense, which they actually got away from their identity, and that's why they lost to Michigan, because they tried to be something they're not. They tried to run it right at Michigan's defense. Then we saw what they can do when they open it up. Notre Dame is a Riley Leonard running quarterback type of offense and a great defense, right? They're very clearly, they're not going to throw it for 300 yards. They're going to run their quarterback. They're going to run their running backs, and they're going to try to maul you. Texas, and maybe it's because of injuries, right? They've had Kelvin Banks is injured. I know he's back. Isaiah Bond's been injured. He was out. Maybe he comes back. They've had running backs hurt all season long. Like, and even Quinn Ewers. Quinn Ewers has been hurt. He missed a couple games when Arch Manning stepped in. And now there's this offense where you run in Arch Manning every once in a while and you utilize him. And Quinn's a really good passer, but he's been inconsistent. So I do think that's probably the biggest issue I have with Texas is, what is their identity? Like, what do they want to be? They are a great defense. We established that. But on offense, I feel like they're like, because every time I think of Steve Sarkisian offense, I think of, you know, a team that's able to put up monster points on the board, a quarterback that throws for three touchdowns and 350 yards and just torches opposing defenses. The great news is they've still won the way they've been playing. But when that offense struggles and it starts to sputter like it did against Georgia twice, and Quinn Ewers gets hit with an interception bug, then I'm a little bit more concerned about them. So I think that's probably my biggest issue with Texas, that they really haven't established identity, whether it's Quinn Ewers' inconsistency, whether it's injuries. And, you know, I just don't think they've established a true identity. But they have been like a chameleon almost, where they figured out, all right, this game we need to be a physical team, you know, that finds out a way to win this game. This game we're going to figure out how maybe we do have to throw it around a little bit more. But they really haven't come out with a true identity yet as a team.
All right, Danny, hopefully this weekend we see more compelling matchups in this next round of things. I know you'll be watching them. We'll watch them as well. Hopefully it gets better. Thanks for jumping on with us, Danny.
Appreciate you guys, man. Have a great Christmas tomorrow. Merry Christmas Eve, and we'll talk to you soon.
Same to you, Danny. Danny Cannell joins us courtesy of BetOnline.net. Check out BetOnline.